Welcome to Encore. That was Wayne Perry doing Old Joe Clark. I want to wish you all a happy Easter. This is a special edition of Encore. We're going to be listening to three recordings done at the Liberty Theater over the years. And Barry Ensoleil will be interviewing different people about how they dye eggs with materials that they have found around their house or yard or anything like that, the environment they are in. And so we're going to start it off with one of those interviews, and then we'll listen to a lot of Cajun swing that I picked out to listen to today.
La Belgique, là-bas. Quel est votre nom? Comment vous appelez?
Simone
qui? Simone Tunison. Ils voudront peut-être faire quelque chose après le show à soir, on ne sait pas. Voilà. We had some people from California, Arkansas, where else? North Carolina, South Carolina, and there was somebody up there from Duke country, as he said. There's some people from Indiana, too, and I hope they don't meet after the show. Actually, it's all right. They'll meet. They'll do all right. Anyway, I want to tell you that we're all happy to have you here visiting in Eunice with us. And we'd like to tell you a little bit about our Easter traditions here in Cajun country. And to do that, we have Claudia and Mr. Carl Fontenot, who are going to come and tell us about what we do with our eggs and a couple of traditions.
Bonjour.
Hello, Barry.
I can tell you what I'm going to do with my eggs. Moi, je vais les manger aussi vite que je peux.
Okay, we're here to tell you a little bit about the way we used to dye eggs way back then when we didn't have all that fancy dye that you can buy in the store. Okay, Carl, pick up one of those eggs. Okay, show them so they can see it. Tell us about that one.
Okay, this is an egg that I dyed with the weeping willow bark. What you do is to take the weeping willow bark away from the tree, and you cut off the actual bark itself, and you use only the meat of the bark, and it comes out to a red or
reddish brown. Very pretty. Yeah.
We're gonna have to help the people listening on the radio now.
No, yeah.
That's right.
And it's a color that I was extremely impressed with, because I wasn't ready for this color at all. And it really turned out really great.
Okay. Show them that pretty one right there. Yeah.
Okay. One of the prettiest eggs,
pretty yellow one there,
we came out with was the yellow egg. And this comes out with the peels
the onion.
An onion.
No kidding.
Yeah, onions.
An onion. When you get ready to dice up an onion, you cut the two ends and you take the four layers off. And before throwing it away, you put it in the pot to boil, and you put a few eggs in the pot, and you get a yellow egg.
Real pretty. Okay.
And this next egg, I'm going to let Claudia describe for us. This is an egg that we chased down the plant for
for a month.
About a month, yeah.
Now that
for
one is a sort of a almost a goldish dark green, kind
yes.
of olive green.
Yes. Well, it started out as a brown chicken egg, and I'm sure that that's why it's dark the way it is. But we use the leaves of a pock-pock plant.
A what?
Pock-pock plant.
A pawpaw plant.
Pock-pock.
Pock-pock.
Uh-huh. Yes. And we wanted to know.
Pock-pock grows on Bayou Pawpaw.
Listen, we almost
not
had.
Not the body sea.
Yeah.
Not bought the body sea.
We almost had to go to Bayou Pawpaw to find it, too, because.
You know where they have some of those? It's right outside the store, John Vidrine's in Los Aguiguish.
Now he tells
us. He's got a pock-pock tree. And
well,
he sells the leaves. He's having a special on them this week.
We asked everyone. Of course they remembered the pock-pock. But they couldn't tell us what it looked like, what the name of it was. So finally, Carl, how did you find out?
Through LSUE, through the biology department at LSUE. Dr. Vidrine and Dr. Bruno. Yes. Bruno. What's Bruno's last name? Burkari. Burkari.
To know the scientific designation. Burkari. To know the scientific designation of the Pok Pok tree, you have to be a doctor and a vidrine.
Yeah. Because it's a plant that the Cajuns were familiar with on the roadsides, especially on the fence lines. But since agriculture took place, you know, big time, with all the pesticides and the herbicides.
And also people don't leave fence lines anymore.
And no fence lines. The Pok Pok came out of the picture, and we didn't know where to find it. And
so it's kind
through
of,
the help of the,
it's kind of picky pock for the Pok Pok.
Through the help of Bruno and Dr. Malcolm Vidrine, we found it again. And it's amazing because it was also used for recreation, because the fruit of the Pok Pok was like fireworks before the 4th of July.
Them, yeah,
because you'd squeeze it, and it would make a popping sound during the maturity of the Pok Pok.
That's something. You see, we often don't realize what we're losing and all of the implications of it until you start looking, you find yourself looking for something like this. I'm sure people didn't realize that a whole cultural practice was going to be endangered because they were plowing closer to the fence.
That's true.
There's incidentally an attempt to restore prairie culture, a prairie environment, and this certainly needs to be thought about.
And amazingly, that you should say that. That's where we did find the Pok Pok plant. Is during this in this restoration
is that
project.
Right?
It is. And last but not least is the good old coffee ground egg. Right after making the coffee in the morning, a lot of Cajuns put the coffee grounds in the water outside the kettle to boil eggs for the kids to bring to school. And they came out with the brown egg, the coffee ground dyed egg.
That looks like an egg of an old hen.
Yeah. Well, now, you had to be careful because when you use country eggs, a lot of the speckled eggs, picassé en français, mm-hmm. They didn't take dye too much because of all the minerals that they had already in the process of making the eggs.
Now, you know, there's an awful lot of other traditions concerning dyeing eggs and associated with Easter that we're not touching on because we're dealing with real eggs. But one of them was dyeing rocks that looked just like eggs.
No.
Funny you should say that.
That's for pocking.
Now, wait, what is this now? Is this a real egg? Mm-hmm. You sure? What is this one?
My egg.
Oh.
We're going to do some pocking, a tradition here we have.
Now, I don't know about how it was where you were from, but when there were kids, if your egg broke, the other guy got it.
That's it.
And you went hungry. So people went through a great deal of pain and trouble to try to find the hardest egg they could find. Some people would put nail polish on the end, you know. Some people would dye a rock. You didn't dye a rock. Now, and another thing that some people would do would be to dye a raw egg. And when you have... Carl, you wouldn't do that to me, would you? Okay. Can y'all get a little pan, the paper towels to put under us here? This is the tradition called paque. Claudia, you want to tell them a little bit about it?
Well,
let's
see. Nogale told me when he was a young man, they would go from house to house pocking.
And of course, this comes from the word poc, which is Easter in French.
Right. And would y'all show them exactly what I'm talking about?
Well, before we get there, some fine points.
Oh, okay. Fine points.
You want them to hit right on the top, on the point of your egg. That way, that's where your eggshell can stand the most stress. Now, if he wants to win, he's going to try to hit me on the side here. So it's my job to try to cover up as much of the side as possible. And sometimes the guy who's supposed to hit says, could you move your finger so I can see your egg, you know? All right, now I'm going to trust that you're coming down right on top.
Right on top.
You're taking your time, too, huh?
All right.
Who won?
You won. Okay.
That's cute.
One of the biggest customs in the area around here was when you park eggs, that if you lost an egg because someone else broke your egg, you give it up. And
he got to eat two and you got to eat none.
Exactly, exactly.
And, now, those of you who are worried as you walk through life and encounter this tradition, if you're worried about somebody giving you or parqueting with you with a raw egg, there is a way to tell. You can spin it, and if it spins, it's boiled. And if it doesn't spin, it's raw. I spin everybody's egg at home.
Another way that my grandmother and one of my old cousins used to check all the eggs before they would boil them was to check it on the teeth. And the strong eggs were put aside to boil. And
this
the weak eggs
business,
were for the kids. And then after they were boiled, they check them again. And that were, you know, that was for the real grown-ups, the one that took it for
serious.
It's the major league parquet contest. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And you know, the different families had different traditions, but in my family, we'd all get together, and if you broke eggs, well, you know, you were number one in the family. And when it came time to eat, well, everybody had to contribute eggs to the egg salad and the devil eggs and whatever egg dishes that we had for that dinner. And if you didn't have enough broken eggs, well, you had to contribute out of your basket of the non-broken eggs.
Oh.
And that hurt.
Yeah. It hurt. It hurt especially bad.
Because a lot of the families went from family to family and you know, relative to relative, you know, throughout the countryside. And a lot of times you'd find yourself going to the last cousin with only three eggs left and hoping that you're going to break some eggs.
It was serious business. And it hurt really badly when you had to pull from your panier, your basket, and break some of your unbroken eggs. And you found your dyed rock by accident and started hitting it on the kitchen table and nothing would happen. The kitchen table splinters. All right. Well, as you encounter Easter weekend, as we look forward to Easter tomorrow, you might want to bear some of these things in mind. And if it's not too late, you can get home tonight and you can try some coffee grounds or orange peel eggs, a beautiful yellow and a beautiful brown. And another thing that people used to do was to tie old ties. They tie their eggs real tight in an old tie and boil the egg in the tie. And when they would unwrap it, it would have taken the dye from the tie. You might want to ask your dad before you go in the closet and raid his ties.
Claudia has a beautiful story about one of the ways that you used to dye eggs was in an old hat made out of...
Felt hats.
Felt hat.
You know,
and one of our songs comes from that.
Well, no, I figured why, you know, Gabriel avait un beau chapeau, c'est malheureux qu'il avait pas de calotte. I figured out why, because Madeleine had used his calotte to boil eggs for Easter.
There you go.
The calotte is the top of the hat.
Is the brim, yeah. Bien merci. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Carl Fontenoy and Claudia Wood. We're live from the Liberty Theater here in Eunice, Louisiana. Puis on va demander à nos amis, Carl.
Yeah.
The Alley Boys of Abbeville with Pourquoi t'en pan. And before that, we listened to an interview from the Liberty Theater with Carl Fontenot and Miss Claudia Woods from a couple years back. Barry Onslay did the interview, and they were talking about dyeing Easter eggs naturally. And we have two more of those little interviews to listen to later in the show. We're going to listen to some more music, though. We're going to go with something by Floyd Shreve, and this is called Darling of Yesterday.
Thank you. loves everything. When I hear your love songs and refrain, bring back memories to me, it's on top of everything. It makes life worth living, just like blossom in the spring. When I hear you so sweetly singing, it's on top of everything. When I waken in dreamland and hear your echo from far, then I long for the reach of your hand. But most of all, when I hear you singing, it's on top of everything.
Welcome back to Encore. That was the Louisiana Rounders with a J'ai vu ta figure in la lune. In la, dans la lune. J'ai vu ta figure dans la lune. That means I saw your face in the moon. And before that, we heard the Millers, Merrymakers. And they did It's the Top of Everything. And we started that little set off with Floyd Shreve And he did Darling of Yesterday. We're going to listen to another interview from the Liberty Theater about dyeing Easter eggs naturally on this Easter weekend. I hope you're all having a great weekend with your family and enjoying your time. Hope you're pocking some eggs or dyeing some right now, getting ready to pock them.
E on en visita star avec Lois François. Lois, are you there? Girl, le lapin paca passé. The bunny rabbit passed. Look, he's right
there. Yes, but it's the old Cajun bunny rabbit.
That's
that
right.
Passed.
We've been celebrating Easter here for a long time, and we have our own way of dealing with it. Back in the old days, people didn't have a whole lot of money. And so they figured out other ways to do what was being done in other parts of America. Of course, I guess a lot of people in the rest of America did this too.
Yeah, well, a lot of it was not only not having any money, but there wasn't a place to get what they need, like, for instance, one of us is short now.
That was E.T. phoning home.
Okay, what I brought you was some of the eggs that we've dyed, and I can hold them up. I don't know how well y'all will be able to see, but you'll be able to see some of the colors. Okay, some of the colors that I have here, and some of these things will surprise you. Your red cabbage, if you take the leaves of the red cabbage, you end up with the bird egg blue color.
Isn't that something?
And it seems unusual. But if you look at the cabbage, you'll see the blue in the red, and you'll see that it's there. Now,
Lois, I don't see any blue in there.
Look in the edges.
Oh, yeah.
Look at it.
But
when you cut it, you'll see a little blue.
Looks red to me.
It's hard.
Church Point blue. Okay.
Okay. Now this is your lowly leftover coffee grounds.
Coffee grounds.
After you make they make their coffee, they'd save up their grinds, and then you boil them. Now the difference in using these dyes and using bought dye is that you boil the egg in what you're dyeing with, whereas with your bought dye, you boil your egg and then you dye it. But this would be your coffee grinds. Now, do you know what pock pock is?
Pock pock.
Yeah. Well, it's false indigo. It's a wild indigo that grows in Louisiana along fence lines.
De mariage à pique pock.
And with the indigo, you'll get the yellow eggs. Let's see. Here's one right here. It's brighter. Some are brighter than
pock
those.
Pock.
I can't get it out of the box. Okay, you'll get a bright yellow. And these were white eggs, so the colors came out a little bit better. If your eggs were brown, you won't get quite as good a color. Then the sort of a rule to follow is if it's edible or if the birds eat it, you can usually get away with using it. So don't go off on your own. Always try to use something someone's used before or something like the cabbage that you're sure of. Now, your peach and your plum tree leaves will make a pale green egg.
Isn't that pretty?
And it's a real pretty pale green. Then about the prettiest one I'll find, it's just your little leafy part of the outside of your onion peel.
The dry part.
The little dry part. You can save these up, and they make a bright egg. And a lot of times, if your egg has a little bit of freckles on it, say like the kids, you'll get something that looks a lot like a wood grain.
Isn't that pretty?
On your egg.
Comes like a sort of a burnt orange looking thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to use the coffee to do your eggs, the coffee grinds, put a little bit of vinegar in your water. It sort of seems to help to set the color a little bit. Okay, I believe we got this. That's all about the ones.
What's this one?
Okay. Okay, here's one. Now, again, like I say, when you have a speckled egg, you'll get something a little bit different. This is willow bark. Just cut some bark off of a willow tree.
And you just boil it?
Yeah. You always boil your egg in what you're dyeing with this sort of dye.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is this?
Okay. Here's this.
That's a beet.
Now, your beet, I don't think I have one with me, but you will get a pale peach to red out of the beet egg. Mm-hmm. But then I have another egg here, which isn't, maybe y'all might not recognize it. Now, that's a Louisiana chicken. No, you always hear about these Texas chickens, but this is a Louisiana chicken. No, Ms. Alderman.
That's the egg that the Kiowa bird
Well, you're close.
It's a little bird about this big, and it lays this egg and turns around and goes, kyo!
This egg, this is its natural color. It's a dark, nearly a dark teal. This is an emu egg. And so we just sort of brought this one along to show you.
Man, if these things are egg, you can see right through them. So, y'all emptied this one.
Yes, they emptied it. But the shell is quite thick because when you lift it, you can tell there's...
Now, Lois, if you showed up to Paquet with this, they'd never let you.
Well, now, I don't know. If you have your guinea egg, I don't see why I can't have my emu egg.
Yeah, well, where's my guinea egg? Where is my guinea? This is it?
I'll bring it. It's in the back.
No. What is this one?
No, that's just...
Plum leaves.
That's the plum leaf.
Pretty.
The plum leaf and the peach leaf would be a lot alike.
Okay.
Okay, now I'm gonna get into something else. Easter wasn't just pock and eggs. It was really the first big, especially years ago, it was the first big holiday after Lent. Because years ago, you didn't have the big fish fry up at the neighbors, and you didn't have that sort of thing on Good Friday. Good Friday was really a day of fasting, and all of Lent was a day of fasting. So on Easter Sunday, that was the big day. You had your Easter dress, and the ladies would come out with their summer hats that day. They quit wearing their winter hats. A lot of the men came out with their straw or summer-type hats. And the thing with the Easter eggs is they would take them to church, and they would pock with their friends and neighbors that maybe they weren't going to have over for dinner. And then they had more eggs yet for when the family came over. So if it was a big family, they boiled a lot of eggs. If the family was smaller, well, they didn't boil quite so many. And I've talked to some of the people that I know who asked their grandparents things that they remembered. And I know one I remember is my dad always kept one Easter egg that wasn't cracked. And he'd keep that in a vase up on the mantle. And we'd keep it all year long. That was an egg that was kept for good luck. And
how did it must have gotten rotten?
No, the boiled egg just shriveled up because he'd always let us break it, you know, the next year. And we'd go throw it up against a tree. And it had just shriveled up as long as the egg wasn't cracked. But it was sat in a bowl and it was kept for good luck. Then there are some other things that are maybe superstitious, but then maybe it's like people who plan according to moon phases. And one was that you planted your parsley on Good Friday. And if you planted your parsley on Good Friday, it wouldn't go to seed. That's what they believed. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't work the soil on Good Friday.
I always wondered about that.
So what you did, you had to work your soil on Holy Thursday. That afternoon, you'd work your soil all ready to go, and then on Good Friday, you'd put your seed down, and you'd cover it with a damp sack or something.
But you couldn't work the earth.
But no, you weren't supposed to
because
move the earth.
Because if you did...
You were going to see blood.
You were going to see the blood of Christ.
So I was always too chicken to try. I thought about it, but I didn't.
No, I don't know anybody who tried.
Yeah. Now, I talked to some people from other places, like there's a lady that's from San Antonio, and she said that they dye their eggs, but they don't pock. They dye... They take the egg out like this emu egg was done, and they paint the egg, and they fill it with flour, and they tape it up. And when they walk up to somebody, they whop them with the floured egg, or else they fill it up with confetti. And then I ran into some people today. I ran into a lady from Germany. It was one of the ladies. She might be here. And she said that they dye their eggs and that they pock like we do. But I was thinking it could have been a predominantly Catholic or Christian group there. And she said it was. And the other lady I met, now I forgot where she was from. It was one of the in the Russian area. And she said that they died from Bulgaria, maybe, a little girl. And she said that they dyed eggs and that they pock, too. So it's not, we're not the only ones that that pock. And if anybody would like a copy of these, what color, they could get in touch with us, and we'd be glad to send them a copy. And before I go, I'll give you a little recipe we have for using up all those hard-boiled eggs. This is Ms. Olga Manuel's recipe. You can use 2 to 3 dozen hard-boiled eggs. You peel them and chop them up.
And let me tell you something. You will have them.
Oh, yeah, that's not hard to find.
Hanging around.
and a half a pound of bacon fried real crisp and crumbled, a fourth to a half cup of the bacon fat you reserved from frying the bacon, and a cup of chopped green onions, a half cup of chopped parsley. Okay, you wilt your onions and your parsley and the bacon fat, and you pour it over your chopped eggs with your bacon bits, and you season with salt and pepper, and you toss it. It's a good way to use up all those eggs. And if that doesn't work, you can always pickle them.
Now listen, some of these people who are visiting from other parts of the country might not understand what we're talking about when we say pock. What you do is you take eggs, will have a fat end and a more pointed end, a round end and pointed end, and you take two eggs and identify both ends, and then one person is the holder. No, we're not going to pock them. One person is the holder, and the other person hits the top this way.
You don't want to just bop it. You do it very, very slow. Yeah.
And sometimes you don't want to hold it like this either, because it might catch you on the side where it's weak. So expert pockers will only show this much egg. And one of the tricks my grandfather used to do was he would dye a raw egg, which would break against a boiled egg every time. And he would arrange to have the raw egg, and he would be on top. And when it break, it'd go all over your hand.
Another way is you walk up to a friend and say, oh, you don't have one. Well, here, I have two. And you hand in the raw one. But another thing you can do is when you boil your eggs, if you'll put a towel or something in the bottom of the pan and try to put that little end down and boil it in that position, then your air bubble will be on top. When you lay it on the side, your air bubble will sometimes be close. So there's all kind of sneaky ways.
Let me tell you, there are professional pockers on Easter that take this very, very seriously.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Miss Lois Francois. We're live from the Liberty Theater here in Eunice, Louisiana.
I should have instructed you all to get a piece of pen and paper out and take some notes. Miss Lois had a lot of very good tips for dyeing eggs and what you can do with all of your eggs after Easter, whether it be cooking them or pickling them. I know I'm going to listen to it again and take some notes for next year at least. We're going to listen to another tune by the Louisiana Rounders, Allons Couche-Couche.
Vous t'en allez, toi tout seul à l'ange-couche-couche. Criminel, comment je vais faire moi tout seul? Il m'a quitté pour t'en aller, il m'a quitté pour t'en aller, pour t'en aller, toi tout seul à l'ange-couche-couche. Criminel, comment je vais faire moi tout seul? Il m'a quitté pour t'en aller, pour t'en aller. Allez, de l'ange couche-couche, et couche-couche.
m'aimerais ton à toi. Ma petite chaloula, ma petite belle Yula. Où je vais dans pour moi, ma petite Yula là. Ma petite belle Yula. Oh, ma petite chère amie, va me retourner à toi, ma petite chère Yula, ma petite belle Yula. Ma petite chère, ma petite chère amie.
Thank you.
That was the Hackberry Ramblers with Just Because. Before that, Joe Werner and his Ramblers doing the Lonesome Wonder. I'm sorry, that was the Lonesome Wonder by Joe Werner. We're going to listen to Just Because by the Hackberry Ramblers coming up next.
Tonight, been doing it for
pick it up, boy. This gal of mine, she was sweet and fair. She didn't take long to give me the air. She's one of those. She's one of those. She took my money, then she took my clothes. She left me last night and she never came back. She went to town and she bowled a jack. She's one of those.
Oh, yeah.
She's one of those. Where she's going, ain't nobody knows. Yeah, Lord.
That was the Riverside Ramblers with She's One of Those. And before that, we heard the Hack Bear Ramblers with Just Because, and Joe Werner and his Ramblers with the Lonesome Wanderer, and the Thibodeau Boys with Ma Petite Chère Amie. We got about 4 minutes left of the show. Thanks for joining me today for Encore, this special edition of Encore. We got some Easter in. And we got some Cajun swing in today, so I hope you all enjoyed it, and I hope you all enjoy the time with your family this weekend. I know I'm going to enjoy my time with them, packing eggs. It gets crazy competitive, but we enjoy it, and it's a lot of fun. So I hope you all do as well. Don't forget, you can check the playlists and podcasts online if you missed anything at our website, krvs.org. And stay tuned to KRVS 88.7, La Radio Acadie. I'm going to go out with a couple songs by Sidney Landry, Cajun Yodeler, and the first one's going to be Confession d'amour, and we might have time for Les Blues Françaises. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week.
Francomix avec Val. C'est tous les jeudis à 9h sur KRVS.
Feel the rush of salt sea breezes on deserted beaches. Hear waves tumbling upon rocky shores and gaze upon the majesty of mountain wilderness.